Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Glitch Grind Glow. Today, I wanted to bring us here and really kind of get down into the nitty gritty of understanding some of my experience in the tech startup space. I've been on a wild journey over the last 4 to 5 years, kind of really honing in my expertise as it relates to tech startups. And so I really felt like it would be the best way to start this episode off to kind of take you guys on the journey that I've been on, over the last few years, especially in the onset of 2020. So long story short, I've been in the technology landscape for a very long time. I started off as a software engineer, and then over the years, I kind of elevated my career more along the tech director route. And so I've done tech director roles for a variety of industries, but primarily for the DoD. And so cybersecurity was a big part of my journey. And then I've ventured out and kind of started trying to do a few other things. And so about 6 years ago, I started my own tech consulting company called Sensible Solutions, LLC, sole member, kind of thing. And my husband and I started kind of marketing our services to businesses more on like a freelance basis. And so at first, a lot of the things that we were doing were websites and, helping people set up their e-commerce sites or their online businesses, that type of thing. So small engagements. Every now and again, I had a friend who would freelance us out to other larger corporations to do, again, small engagements, WordPress updates, custom, plugin development, things like that. But then 2019 came, the COVID-19 pandemic started. And the next thing I knew, we were kind of thrust into this world of a lot of different tech opportunities. In 2020, there were a lot of people sitting at home looking for things to invest their time into and their energy into. And so, as the world is, we always have like a lot of ideas or a lot of things that apps we want to build and things that we want to try. And so there were a lot of people at home really given this unique opportunity to devote a lot of energy into figuring out this baby that I have, this idea, this innovation that I've been trying to get off the ground for however many years. I got the time to really focus that energy because I'm not working, or I'm, on a shifted schedule or whatever the many configurations of what the world looked like for us. We were all kind of, confined to our homes and waiting for the pandemic to, make a drastic change. And so the next thing we knew, my husband and I were thrust into the forefront of a lot of tech startups and a lot of ventures. Mobile app development. We had some web application development contracts. I mean, the full gambit. We had at least 4 apps that we were working to build with some type of partnership, some type of either consulting, CTO as a service, or we were the actual developers behind building certain web applications. And that's kind of how I got thrust into the startup journey. That period in my life, from 2020 up until now was, full of lessons learned and a lot of information that honestly I came by through trial by error. So today's episode, right, we're really going to focus on some of the lessons learned that came out of the journey for me helping other entrepreneurs, CEOs, and founders develop their tech startups and kind of trying to get a startup from inception, where you have an idea, all the way through development, all the way to market. And so today's episode is really focusing on from those lessons that I learned from the successes and the failures. What do I believe are the top 3 reasons that tech startups fail? There's a lot of research out there, and there are a lot of other very prominent folks in this area where this is also their subject matter expertise. And generally, I think most, you know, people in this arena will agree with me that these are the top three reasons. And these are absolutely the top three reasons from our experiences of why our founders had a lot of challenges. One, lack of market demand. Many startups fail because they create a product or service that doesn't solve a real problem or have a real market need. This often happens because people don't spend enough time doing market research or properly validating the product idea before starting to invest resources, time, and money to actually build it. I will say, this experience, I have seen this happen, and you ask yourself, like, how is this possible? How is it possible that someone didn't take the time to really vet what's already out in the market and then determine the differences between their offering and what's out there? Sometimes founders think it's enough. The folks who they know or the people who can like advertise their app is what's going to be the difference between, you know, their app and another app and what they're marketing and what they're offering. So, you know, do yourself a favor. If you're at all interested in starting an app, a web application, an Android or an iOS app, really spend time figuring out what else exists out there. Search engines can tell you, like, you can put in very clear questions nowadays into the search engines to say, what other apps are like, you know, X, Y, and Z app. If you know you're building a fintech app, or if you know you're building, you know, something that is similar to an offering that already exists, but you don't know the key differences, our lovely friend ChatGPT, you know, that's another thing that you can use now, which is, you know, significantly made the difficulty in doing market research, it's driven that down drastically, right? So you can go into ChatGPT or any of the AI tools that exist today, there's a billion of them out now, and say, you know, I want to do the comparison and the market analysis for this app that I'm looking at trying versus another app that I know is on the market, but I may not know all the features. Simply downloading the apps yourself, right? You can go into any app store and pull down apps that have similar characteristics, doing searches in the app store and figure out, you know, one by one. It might feel very intense and time consuming, but it's worth it, right? If you vet each app and you understand the differences between what you're trying to bring to market and what's already out there, then you can really realistically determine whether or not this is going to be thrown into the pile of other fintechs or other productivity apps and things like that, or whether this is going to have its own, you know, special place and its own value that it brings to the market. But you absolutely have to spend the time doing the research and figuring out, you know, even things down to like cost point. Maybe the difference between your app is you pile in a lot of features and a lot of capabilities, but at a significantly lower price point. You know, how will that affect the market? And how likely are you to be able to draw those users that are invested in these other apps that might be actually more expensive now that they're signed up, now that they're subscribed and they've already been paying the fees? How do you bring them over to your app? And that's another piece to market analysis that has to be done, right? So that's that one: lack of market demand, lack of appropriate market research. Two, financial constraints. Financial mismanagement is a common reason for startup failure. This can include overspending on unnecessary expenses, underestimating the cost, or like some of my founders that I've, you know, been helping or consulting with, right? So this is a very real world example. We built the app, we spent the money, and now we don't have the appropriate funding to be able to support the infrastructure to operate the app. So operational expenses are going to be absolutely something that, in addition to just getting the app built, as much as, you know, people really care about finding the capital to actually get the app or the technology developed, it is just as important, if not more important, understanding what is the long-term implications of being able to support and to sustain your app. That includes things like running it on the infrastructure. So if you're using some type of cloud infrastructure environment to run your app, you know, what is it going to cost today to get those bills paid for that cloud infrastructure when you have zero users? What is it going to cost tomorrow when you have 100? What is it going to cost when you have 1,000? What is it going to cost when you have 1,000,000? A lot of people aren't, you know, people are just trying to get the app out the door. They're just trying to get it to the marketplace. They're just trying to get it into the consumer's hands to download. And so not everybody's doing that full scale analysis. And we've seen, you know, apps that, you know, thank goodness people valued them and loved them. And as soon as they started, you know, downloading them, grew leaps and bounds with its user base. But then the bills that were coming in from the infrastructure to be able to support and run that app were huge. And funding had not been secured appropriately up front to be able to sustain what that started to look like as that app grew bigger and more popular. So that's one of those stories where it's like, let's figure out a full scale funding plan. And sometimes you need to bring in someone who has experience, you know, finding investors, as well as a CFO or someone who's going to operate as a financial guru for you to be able to make sure that you're covering all your bases. Like me as a technologist, my lane is tech, right? So I'm really good at helping you understand, well, this is the type of infrastructure that you need. And this is what I estimate the cost will be at this juncture when we have 5 users, when we have, you know, 5,000 users. I'll be able to help you understand those things, but a CFO or a financial management person is absolutely cut to help you understand like what you're going to need to pull together and the type of resources that you're going to need to have available as your business grows. Marketing budgets, right? Like that's something that I can help you. I know how to do SEO. I know how to do marketing. I have series that I develop on digital marketing strategies, but for small business. When you're an app that's expected to grow and you're trying to get it into millions of users' hands, you know, that's a whole different ball game than trying to build up your storefront or trying to move your merch, you know, and you're using digital marketing strategies. So now you have to start bringing in, you know, marketing teams and real folks who are going to spend the money that it takes to get your app marketed in the appropriate places. So, you know, making sure that you have budgets for marketing, making sure you have budgets for branding, for social media campaigns and things like that. So that's a whole other, you know, a ball of wax that we will get into. I do want to have some very focused segments on these types of suggestions that I have in this space on how, you know, you've built your app, now what? What is the financial constraints that you have to consider? You know, if you've already done it in a way that was not quite the right way to go about securing your capital and getting your funding, what can we do now? We got the app is sitting in your hands. How do we make sure that you have what you need to move forward and to continue to grow and progress and don't run out of money, right? So we'll have follow-on episodes, but that is another one that I could spend hours talking to you guys about and will in the near future. But number three, honestly, and I will say, I think this is probably the most common experience that I had working these startups and working with founders and CEOs and, you know, advisory boards and, you know, the executive suite that was built for a startup, right? Poor management and leadership. And I don't want to say necessarily that was the experience that I had for each of, you know, my experiences. But I will say from all the case studies that I've read, all the different, you know, apps that I know that have existed that weren't personally, you know, a part of my journey and that I helped consult with, there are telltale stories about, you know, leadership and management and how that is almost more impactful sometimes than what you're bringing to market is how you're leading it, how you're executing, and what that team looks like that's behind you. So, you know, inadequate leadership and management, needless to say, can significantly contribute to the failure of a tech startup. That may be a lack of strategic vision, ineffective decision making, or failure to be able to adapt to any changes in the market, right? I've had the experience of working with a one founder who did an amazing job defining the lanes and getting folks excited about being on his executive team, right? So he was a founder that definitely felt like, I need a village. I can't do this all by myself. I need someone that's good at finance. I need someone that's good at being the CEO and making the strategic vision and having the strategic direction. I need somebody that's going to be good at marketing, right? Someone that's going to define the overall brand strategy and kind of drive that from a, you know, marketing engagement, you know, momentum perspective, right? And so did an awesome job. And the executive suite that he built, including myself as CTO, right? I really felt like that particular space was, you know, well-defined and well-carved out and well-executed. Not all of my founders have been, you know, equally successful in that area. So some common pitfalls, right, that we find is someone that wants to do everything, right? A founder who wants to be the CEO, who wants to be the CMO, who wants to be the COO and the CFO, because for whatever reason, sometimes it's money, right? They don't know enough people to be able to build an executive C-suite team that will work for sweat equity, right? They might not have access to folks who are really good at managing budgets and doing financials. Various reasons, you know, and that's like an access issue or a networking issue, right? I have other people that I've worked with who, for whatever reason, had trust issues and didn't really trust a lot of folks. So they may have known potential people that they could reach out to, but keeping things very close to the cuff because they didn't want anybody to steal their ideas. You know, they didn't want to invest in hiring lawyers to draft up NDAs to protect their intellectual property. They hadn't even figured out how to copyright it or anything like along those lines. So it's like, no, I'm not building an executive team and bringing a lot of people into the fold for my idea to be stolen or to be properly handled, right? A bunch of different reasons, you know, money, right? People don't want to give equity. They know they have an idea that is like bananas and they know that it's going to be super successful. And so one of the very many things you have to figure out if you're going to give people sweat equity to be a part of your journey, what does that look like in terms of how much you're willing to give them, right? What percentage are you willing to give to someone else for an idea that you have cultivated from its inception, and now they're coming in and they're doing more of the administrivia or the strategic work that it takes to get that idea off the ground, but they weren't originally, you know, a part of the original team crafting this idea. It's the fundamental concept behind, you know, the sale and creation of things like Facebook, right? Where you have the original founders and their ideas, but you have the people that bring some of those things to their actual creation. And so it's trying to understand what is the value that you assign to that. And a lot of times founders have a hard time figuring out, like, what do I give these people who are working for free, but I couldn't do it without them, but they also weren't the original creators of the idea, right? And so struggling there, don't build a C-suite. And then just general, like, you know, sometimes people think that they can take on multiple roles so that they can limit the amount of divvying up of the revenues that come from the creation and the sale of a particular product or invention, right? I have worked with founders who wanted to be the CEO and the founder, and I will go into this in more depth. You know, we'll have a journey where we'll have this episode where, you know, not all CEOs and founders can be the same person, or not all founders are meant to be a CEO, rather. Sometimes founders are the people that have the vision, and they're strategic, and they're the visionary, and they can go out and they can evangelize, and they can bring people in on the journey with them, and they can generate interest and build momentum. But a lot of times visionaries are just that, they're visionaries, they're crafting, they're creating, they're artists. And sometimes visionaries, you know, you might encounter some, not all. So I don't want everybody to, you know, all of a sudden be like, that's not true. You can't be both. I agree. There are definitely exceptions to this rule. But what I have found in my experience is that sometimes you need a partner behind you that is going to be the more strategic, the less sexy, the less, you know, they are going to take on the day-to-day to-do list and the day-to-day checklist to make sure that things are happening properly, to make sure that things are getting executed on time. And so a lot of times, I wholeheartedly believe in building a team where you are able to do the things that you are really good at. So you are able to go out, meet with investors, get people excited, get them charged up, get them interested in your vision. You're able to do the press conferences, the, you know, interviews. And that is the founder's, like, you know, that's you, you know, building your piggy bank, right? And building your momentum. And then sometimes, you know, back at the lab or in, you know, in the trenches or in the basement, depending on what your setup looks like, your CEO is right there behind you. But your CEO is making sure that the developers are completing their work on time, engaging with a CTO to make sure that requirements are being built correctly, that beta testing is happening, that, you know, milestones are being completed on time and things aren't lapsing deadlines, that the tech team is getting paid, and that, you know, invoices are being appropriately monitored and verified, and that functionality is checked against those invoices, right? Those are the things that, you know, the executive team is really good at executing and making sure it happens. While a lot of times it frees up the ability for founders to go out and to find the funding and to meet the people and to network and to build the partnerships and the relationships. So that is the culmination of what I feel are the top three reasons for why tech startups fail, right? As I said, I could go on for days, you know, breaking down some of the subtle nuances in each of these areas, which I will in follow-on episodes. But I wanted to initially have this conversation for some folks out there who are like, you know, what is it? What is the reason why I've seen so many really great ideas never make it out the gate or never make it, you know, to the market? It sounded good. I would have bought it. I would have invested in it. But I never heard anything about it. And what happened to this business, or what happened to this idea or this innovation? All right, fam, stay tuned for upcoming episodes where we take a deeper dive into these pitfalls and how to avoid them, and possibly even recover if you've already encountered some of these issues. We'll also have an exciting episode where we interview some of our founders to understand what their key takeaways were and things that they learned specifically from their journey. As always, like and subscribe so you will be notified about new episodes when they drop. And follow us on all social media so that you can hear about upcoming engagements or events that I might be speaking at. And be sure to comment and describe any pitfalls you have ran into when trying to get your project or your business off the ground. Remember, life's about the journey and the glow up along the way. Until next time, keep shining bright.